The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Real Live Real Estate Investing. And no, this is not the voice of Vina the Goddess. This is your guest host, Tiffany Ray. And I am excited about today's conversation I'm going to have with Miss Amanda Neely. I believe she's on the phone, but I do want to remind you that this is a live program. You can call us with your questions at 1-877-772-9658. And if you're stuck at work, you can also send an email to Vina, V-E-N-A, radio at gmail.com. Hello, Amanda. Are you there?
Hello, Tiffany. I am.
Hey, Miss Neely. Yes, I certainly can. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right today. It's looking like it's going to rain a little bit here, but you know, we're going to make it through. And so I want to get straight to it because I know we have a whole lot to talk about. So if you don't mind, I'll drop a little bit of an introduction for you, Amanda, and then you can fill in the gaps where I miss. But guys, today we have the wonderful Amanda Neely. She is a CFP, which is a certified financial planner professional, and the CEO of Wealth Wisdom Financial. She makes financial planning more accessible through podcasts and through developing personalized financial strategies for individuals and couples, as well as profitable strategies for small businesses. I can attest to that. She works virtually to help everyday Americans all over the United States to create smart, sustainable, stable financial futures. So welcome, Miss Amanda, and let's start talking about some stuff because you've got some stuff to talk about here today. And I hope people call in and I hope they engage with us. But what I do know...
Actually, Tiffany, you just want to let you know, they are working on our phones right now. We
have
Amanda on, but we cannot take call-ins today.
Oh, so no,
our apologies for that.
Sorry,
I know
guys.
We didn't get to warn Tiffany ahead of time. They're literally working on the phones even as we speak.
What's an adventure without knowing what the heck you're doing on radio? But that's okay. So look at here. Do not call the 877. Amanda and I will have a wonderful conversation, but I do have the opportunity to read your questions. So I'm going to repeat the email again.
Yes.
VinaRadio@gmail.com. So, Amanda, I know your approach to real estate is deeply values-driven. So can you talk us through how you first got introduced to investing and what made it feel aligned with your financial philosophy?
Yeah, great. Perfect place to start because my background is important. I actually started a business in 2011, we opened in downtown Chicago. We had a great landlord. It was a good experience. And we ran that business. It was fantastic. And then the landlord changed. There was a new person in charge. And there were changes to the area, the building we were in, our neighbors, things like that. And that made it very hard to do business. Mm-hmm. So I really realized that the real estate that businesses are located in is really important. And then when I started to think about it and think of, you know, the residential neighbors near us, all of that, I realized, like, yeah, these are people that are committed to each other. They're stable together, right? We are a community, and by owning real estate or being active in that real estate, that we're co-located together, all those kind of things. And so we realized, like, if we were going to continue doing business, we want to stabilize our own future by not being subject to as many landlords, being our own landlord, but also we can help grow our community, grow the people around us, build relationships by thinking about real estate and doing real estate together. And it's a really great way to dig roots into an area. A lot of businesses try to scale up and get as big as possible, that kind of thing. But there's another alternative that's to scale deep, to really get ingrained into community and neighborhoods. And that's really what we've decided we're all about. And real estate's a great way to align with that.
I totally understand that. You are speaking my language and words that really resonate with me. You were talking about community and being co-located and those types of things. And so I heard you mention small business. So you've worked with couples. That was part of your introduction, small business owners and like-minded, you know, legacy families. So what do you think is pulling them towards real estate right now, especially in this climate?
Yeah, I think there's still something about, you know, like brick and mortar, tangible things that we can see and touch, especially when so much of our world is digital and doesn't, you know, it feels like it's there today and gone tomorrow, right? And so the real estate really, like, because we are physical beings, we have a physical body, we actually have a nervous system in that body. There's something about real estate that feels calm to our bodies, even because like we can connect to it that way. And then when we also think particularly couples, maybe they're thinking about generational wealth. I have a hard time finding anything better than real estate to build generational wealth. And especially without the emotional bandwidth that can come with other ways of building generational wealth. Real estate does, you know, it does have some emotions to it, right? Tenants or toilets or termites, you know, all those taxes. But there's this like great feeling about there's something physical that your kids or grandkids, they can see, they can touch, they can experience. That makes it more real when we're thinking about generational wealth than, you know, like if you're selling a digital product or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You said a bunch of things unpacked in that last statement. You talked about the digital divide and brick and mortar, something you can feel tangible being a touchy thing. But you said something that I don't know if everybody heard, and that was about the nervous system. I was like, oh my God, she's going medical on me. But you said something about money and nervous system. So when you think about that, how does that practice apply to risk and reward of buying property other than just the brick and mortar piece of it? Do you think there's something else there, Amanda?
Yeah. There's actually a lot of science behind this. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV or anything like that.
Right.
But there's, you know, like real research out there that shows when the stock market has a big dip, emergency room visits skyrocket immediately afterward within the next 24 hours. Our bodies, because money is so important in, you know, the 2025, our bodies react to economic shocks and differences in, you know, what our money is doing. And so with real estate being a little less risky, sure, property values don't always go up. They can go down, but they don't go down nearly as often or as quickly as stocks and bonds and mutual funds in that whole world. And so we can have a little bit more, not saying we don't do those things, right? There's a place and time for many people of all different backgrounds to participate in the stock market. But there's something about having something that's stable, that doesn't go down as often in value, and has even just some tangible value to it that can help bring that calmness and that stability, even if, you know, the other part of our portfolio just lost 30%.
Exactly. That makes sense to me. So we're unpacking a lot right here, and I've been advised that we're going to take a break. Hey, guys, listening out there, stay with us and email in, and we'll be right back. Don't leave. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. This is Tiffany Ray, your guest host, Real Life Real Estate Investing. And today I'm talking with Amanda. And if you missed the first 10 minutes, man, did you miss a lot? We talked about tenants, toilets, and taxes. We talked about the nervous system, emotional, scaling deep, and brick and mortar. But I would like to tell you a little bit about where Amanda is going to be. So, yes, I'm talking about the National Summit, and it is coming up this month, starting October 30th through November the 2nd. You can see the full agenda at NationalREISummit.com. And for those of you who can't get those tickets for an in-person visit, which we hope you can, there is a virtual opportunity to get tickets at the radio station that I'm talking at. It's WMKVFM.org. At the bottom of the page, you will see a link in order to grab those virtual tickets. And yes, personally, I've attended the summit for probably over 10 years. And Saturday, I'm going to be a panelist talking about discussing change and economic for impact. And so, again, if you're just joining us, I'm talking to Amanda Neely of Wealth Wisdom Financial, and we're talking about money impacts and real estate. And so I believe we talked about the nervous system when we left off. It made me think about something about couples. So let's just dive right in, since we don't have the phone calls and the emails trailing us right now. When I think about my husband and I know couples often have different money stories or risk tolerances. I like to say I'm a Scooby-Doo, if you've ever been to King's Island, and he probably rides the Beast or Son of Beast or something. So we are like way polar opposite when it comes to that. So Amanda, what strategies do you use to help these couples align on shared real estate vision, maybe?
The first one is to acknowledge that this is most couples, right? They say opposites attract for a reason. My husband and I are also very different when it comes to money. That is very common. And so the first thing is to be like, okay, this is not weird. This is normal that we are different. And other couples have figured out how to make this work and be more aligned and keep their marriage healthy and growing and strong. We can too. So if you can both at least agree on that, right? We're not weird. This is normal. And we're committed to working together. Then that's a great foundation that you can build off of. That's kind of emotional safety. I have this rock, this person in my life that I am safe with, that I can bring my emotions out with, and then build from there. And we don't build with spreadsheets. I'm going to go back to that nervous system again. Yeah. I actually call it the financial nervous system. And there's about 9 different types of financial nervous systems. Often, couples will not have the same one. They'll have very different ones. And when they can get to know them, what drives them, they can learn how to honor both and bring the best of both out without conflict or without feeling like they can't share. And they can name those fears, name those desires, give boundaries, and find ways to move forward strategically. Sometimes that means they do separate things, right? You're going to do this type of real estate, I'm going to do that type, and we're going to pull our money and profits together, and it's going to be really great. And other times, it's actually we need to partner together because you have strengths that I don't have, and we'll actually do better if we focus in together. But the key point is not to assume one thing or another, but to allow that exploration. While this isn't weird, it's normal for couples to be different. Every couple is unique. And so how you and your significant other do real estate and finances together will probably look different than somebody else. You can learn from other people. You can, get inspired by certain couples that you admire and look up to, but you're going to find your own, and that takes communication and honoring and respecting each other from that place of emotional safety.
So, Amanda, this is awesome. I feel like we are talking about Wealth Wisdom and your company, Wealth Wisdom Finance, but it also, this feels like a class on how to deal with things. We've talked about scaling deep. We've talked about emotional roller coasters, nervous systems, respect. This is just 100% perfect. And it's so funny because we were talking about passive versus non-passive investors and generational wealth and, you know, turning your business, your investment, you know, into a business and what have you. And so can you shift just a little bit and talk a little bit about the difference between chasing passive income versus what you, I think you have a terminology for it. Is it called centered wealth? Like how does that fit into that, that distinction, that real estate distinction?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of real estate investors get attracted to real estate because they want passive income. Mm-hmm. They want mailbox money, uh-huh. right? But too often that's actually an outsourcing of something that is really core to being human. And it's responsibility. Now, I know real estate can come with a lot of responsibility if you're, you know, you've got tenants, you got to make sure the property is cared for. But also if you're doing syndications or some other things, you might actually have very little responsibility. But here's what's different about just chasing passive income for passive income's sake and what we call centered wealth. Centered wealth asks this question. Does this asset align with who I am, how I want to be alive, and what I want to build in the world? It starts with what are my goals? Who do I want to become? How am I growing? What's my personal development trajectory? And is this real estate going to help me do that? So for some people, they might have a huge passion for like nonprofit type work. Mm-hmm. And the passive income is actually there to help them do more volunteering or be on the board of directors of their favorite nonprofit, maybe give more to charity. But if they just have the passive income for the passive income's sake, they don't even think about the nonprofit side, then we often feel lost, right? We need something to go after. We need a mission, a purpose, right? There's some very good wisdom out there, right? Without vision, the people perish. So find the vision first and then make sure the passive income aligns with the vision rather than vice versa. I meet so many people that are like, I'm just going to build up to this passive income and then I'll figure out what's next. And I don't think they'll ever figure out what's next. There could be exceptions to that. Mm-hmm. But if they figure out what they really want, they catch a vision for their future, they're probably going to get to the passive income goals and things like that much more quickly and in a way that fits their nervous system at the same time.
That's huge, because I just had a note to myself about something that I do. And I think you and I have talked before, and you know that I do shared housing, which is investing for impact. But what I said was I was looking at another property and I said, I am just done negotiating with my goals. And so what you're saying is really resonating like very, very deeply with me. And so it was kind of that piece between the, is this legacy? Is it for net worth? Is it for cash now? Or is it, you know what? So I'm hearing you say that it just isn't net worth, but it's a little bit about legacy. So how could someone use property to leave a values aligned impact for their family and their community, since we're talking about this nervous system and impact and aligning with goals and whether it feels good?
Yeah. So typically if someone is serious about their goals, they're looking for a mission, a vision that includes other people. Mm-hmm. It may be family. It might be people in your community. It could be people halfway around the world. Right. But it usually includes other people. And this is when we, like, you don't have to play it small. You can play it big, right? Like, what, you know, I talk with people that want to end extreme poverty. That's mm-hmm. a huge goal. And then there's other people that's like, I just want to make sure my child who is an artist doesn't have to worry about income and can create the art that they want because I believe they've got a gift, right? Those are all both equally amazing goals. And what we can do is build together, co-create a legacy map that shows, okay, here's the family vision, here's those freedom goals, here's those impact plans, here's how the money aligns with them, and look for micro adjustments, things we can change a little bit along the way to make sure that we reach those goals without taking unnecessary risk or adding undue stress to us as we go. And then of course, knowing there's things that happen in the world that we can't account for, that throw off our plans, that we need to consistently be revisiting them and figuring out, okay, this happened, what do I need to tweak? That's why I call it a legacy map, because if you're, you know, going on a road trip, we just heard a traffic report, right? There could be a roadblock. You've got to adjust the map, and or like the map doesn't change, but what you, how you go about the map changes.
Totally understand. So this is a great segue. With that, we're going to take a little detour on the map and take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't leave us. Welcome back. Welcome back to Real Live Real Estate Investing. I'm your guest host, Tiffany Ray, and I'm talking today with Amanda Neely from Wealth Wisdom Financial. And I would say she's a life planner, a wisdom planner, and a strategist of all sorts. And we're just learning a lot. And did you hear that during the break? The announcer actually made a reference to driving for dollars. I was like, what is going on? We talked about the map. I think when you left, we talked about a legacy map. And then we talked about a detour getting off, and he came back with the driving for dollars. I was like, oh my God, this is great. What alignment. I absolutely love it. And so, Amanda, you're going to be at the summit that's coming up on the 30th. I think you're going to be presenting something about recession-proof investor. Is that right?
Yes, I'm super excited about this.
Yeah.
This will be my third National Real Estate Summit that I'll be attending and sharing at. I just have so much fun connecting with everyone and bringing the wisdom that I gather and connecting that to where people really are. And I know a lot of people are worried about recession, thinking we could be in one or one could be here soon, and we need to make sure we're putting the things in order that we're able to actually thrive in those. Like, we know when recessions hit, wise people make lots of money.
That's right.
And so let's figure out how we can position ourselves to do that.
Well, like I said, I for one have my tickets, and I am going to be there, and I will make sure that I'm going to make it to your session. Usually I'm running around doing something, but I definitely have this one earmarked for sure. And so, guys out there, if you do not have your ticket for the summit that's coming up on the 30th, starting the 30th all the way through November 2nd, you can reach out to mkvfmradio.org if you want to attend virtually. And we hope you can make it in person. If you are, there's still tickets available at the nationalreisummit.com. And so when we left off, Amanda, we were talking a little bit about that nervous system, and we were talking about some legacy building maps and those types of things. But I heard you say something that was a little ritualistic to me in frameworks. And so what types of frameworks do you use with clients to integrate real estate into their long-term wealth strategy? We were talking about those goals, and we were talking about, like you said, things happen and there may be a detour. I think the little kids say life be lifing. So that's what they say. I picked it up from the TikTok or something like that, that my granddaughter watches all the time. But when there are emotions involved and there's legacy involved, there definitely has to be a definite framework around that.
Yeah, so this is something that is a little tricky, but is totally worth digging into. And
okay,
it's going to take a minute to explain, but you can spend your lifetime doing this. So we all probably remember way back in science class in elementary school, we learned the scientific method, right? You set a hypothesis, you test it, right?
Yep.
All this, you get feedback that either confirms or denies, you revisit your hypothesis. Well, like, you can use that in an elementary science fair, or rocket scientists use the same, you know, scientific method to figure out how to build a rocket to go into outer space. What I like to call this is called the STILL method. Like the scientific method, it's a five-step process, and it can go from wherever you're starting with money, like you're just starting out in your adulting experience, all the way through your legacy planning and everywhere in between. So it's an acronym. The S stands for set your sights. That's where you get to the goals, the vision. Where are you going? What's your destination? What are you looking for? And that could be 90 days. That could be 90 years. Doesn't matter, right? But what are your sights seeing in your future right now? If all you do is just that S, you're probably head and shoulders above most people who don't ever set financial goals. Mm-hmm. So do that. Then the T is track your in and out. Actually look at what's been the inflows and the outflows of your life and your money recently, right? Just not judging, but just noticing, actually looking at the bank statements or whatever it might be, the investment statements. Then the I in still is inspect your progress. How is the in and out going? Is it getting you closer to or farther away from your sights and where you want to go? Again, no judgment, no shame here, just noticing, realizing what's happening, where you're moving. And then we get to the first L. It's my favorite one. It's don't try to change everything overnight. Just look for the micro adjustment. What's the small tweak you can make that would help you move closer to where you want to go from where you are now? What's come into your life and gone out of your life recently and how that progress is going? What's the micro adjustment, 1%, you know, improvement that you could make? And then the last L is live deliberately. What do you need to do to actually put that micro adjustment into action? And what's great about this is you can repeat it as a process over and over again. And every micro adjustment builds on the last micro adjustment, and you get compounding working in your favor toward your goals, just like we want compounding working in our favor with our finances as well.
I love that. I don't think that it took a long time to explain the STILL, STILL method at all. And I was taking notes, and it actually took me back to my banking days. And I was like, oh my God, she's talking about inspecting. That's like the KRIs and KPIs and all that kind of stuff. And so you brought me back home with that. But I love that. It's definitely applicable to life. And I see where you can use that everywhere. So I definitely am going to, as the kids would say, bite that and share it. And I want to, if you have an opportunity to talk a little bit more about that micro piece, I think that would resonate a lot with people, because you think you have to make big adjustments. Like, I'm going on a diet. I want to lose 20 pounds in a month. Well, if you could just start eating right, or just drink more water today, or cut out the refined sugars on, you know, month one, and then maybe the carbohydrates, the next ones, those are those little things that you're talking about that make a difference in your life and in your budget. So can we stick right there just a little bit with that? Okay, great.
Yeah, actually, and nutrition, fitness is a great analogy for this. They actually, some other researchers at some point did a study where they're trying to get people to run 20 minutes three times a week, right? We're kind of taught we need to get our heart rates up, that kind of thing. And they had one group, they just said, okay, go start running three times a week for 20 minutes a time. And they had another group that the first week they told them just to stand for 10 minutes in front of their TV when they watched it at night. And then they'd come back the next week and they'd say, okay, now walk in place for that 10 minutes. And they gradually make those small adjustments. And by the end of the study, which group do you think was actually running 20 minutes, three times a week? The second group, the group that eased into it, right? I'm guilty of this too. For the longest time, I thought New Year's resolution, you just, you know, cold turkey, you just got to jump in head first, make it happen. And we all know if you've tried that before, it hardly ever sticks. but if you try this other way of tiny little adjustments, it can totally transform things. So I love to encourage people, if you want to test this out, a lot of people have a hard time saving money, setting money aside to, you know, pile it up to, you know, do something else with, or keep it for the long term. If you're living on 100% of your income right now and you start saving 1% and live on 99%, you're not going to miss the 1%.
Is that, is that a challenge? Is that a challenge? Amanda, I think I heard a challenge go out to the listening audience, right? 1%.
Yeah, 1%. And then in a month, in 3 months, the next time you get a raise somewhere, something like that, you move it to 2%. And you make it a game. And it's so much fun to gamify it that way and be like, how much can I get to? This is how people get to saving 30 or 40% of their income. 1% at a time.
I love that. I think that is just so great. And it's doable, right? I mean, if you think about it, it's that small baby step that you might want to make. And so guys out there that are listening and coming to see Amanda at the summit, she just put a challenge out there, and it's dial back 1%, no matter where you are today, whether that's 100% or you're at 99%, we're going to save 1% to make an impact. And we're talking about the STILL method today. And we're here with Amanda Neely from she's a certified financial planner from Wealth Wisdom Financial. And so I don't think we're up for a break, so let's keep going. So Amanda, we've talked about a whole lot. And one of the things that I love to talk about is wealth building and legacy planning for family and community. Like, it is really what it is that I do. So what advice would you have for someone who's listening that is hesitant about real estate today, but they are very drawn to the idea?
Yeah, first I want to honor your hesitation. That's sacred.
Yes.
You do want to slow down and align. You used the word alignment earlier. I love that word. It's so important. Align before you leap. Mm-hmm. And you might start with like a reflective question. For instance, what would safe and expansive feel like to me? When I look at all the different real estate options that I could do, or this one real estate option in front of me right now, what would feel safe and expansive to me? And then explore education, come to awesome summits, talk to real investors, or, you know, real life real estate investors. Be cautious about like hypey influencers. They're going to hype you up, get you excited. And that's when people often make mistakes. They also make mistakes when they're super stressed. But when you move forward with like grounded voices who speak to your season, your values, your unique perspective and place in life, that's when you can really move forward from that alignment slowly, safely, and with abundance in mind.
Yes, I absolutely love that. And all of that is talking about changes in lifestyle and goal setting and what have you. And I think we're up for a break. So guys, stay with us. We're having a great conversation with Amanda Neely, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your guest host, Tiffany Ray, and I'm talking today with Amanda Neely of Wealth Wisdom Financial. And just a bit ago, we were talking about someone who was thinking about moving into real estate, and Amanda gave us some great points. Explore education. Don't listen to very grounded voices. And that made me think about something that Vina would totally get me for if I didn't say. And then tomorrow night is our REIA meeting. That is REIA meeting. It's our national online meeting. And the topic is how to make money in foreclosure at every stage of the process. And guys, this is really important. Some of you out there that have listened before and you know me from REIA, you know my background. Foreclosures are spiking, and they're up over 7%. And overall, and over 42% nationally. And so I believe Vina's going to be talking about different segments, and we're all going to be on the phone together. This is a Zoom meeting, and it's free for the first time that you come to join us in this conversation. You can get your link at Cincinnati REIA. That's Cincinnati REIA.com, and that's tomorrow night, and we'll see you online. And so back to you, Amanda. You were talking about being grounded and respecting that hesitation. And so with that piece of it, what could you say about passive income versus centered wealth versus the STILL method? All of these things, I think you used the nervous system analogy and a whole bunch of things that I've learned from you about scaling deeply and playing big. And that one I really love. But wrapping that all up together, where I'm going with this is that you were saying that if real estate won't make you feel safe until you do these things. So if there was one thing that you would say that you would recommend for people to start other than the still method, what would that one thing be for our listeners out here this evening?
Yeah, the word that I love to come back to that's kind of a touchstone for me, mm-hmm. that as I share it with people, it rings in their ears as well, is this word sovereignty.
Sovereignty, yes.
Sovereignty means I get to choose my path, mm-hmm. my peace, my pace, my priorities. I'm in control. I am moving from my center, from my own alignment. No one else tells me what to do, those kind of things. And that's one of the best things about real estate is, like, you actually have something that's yours, that's in your control. Sure, there's, you know, regulations and rules you have to follow for the safety of everyone. But if that structure fits your life, right, then you have your, like, you're the king or queen of your own domain, mm-hmm, right? Like, mm-hmm. What doesn't work is when real estate becomes just another job or an identity mask or a source of silent shame when it doesn't perform like you thought it would. That strips away the sovereignty. Instead, what if we got to embrace it and make sure we're moving as close as possible? We never do it perfectly, moving closer and more important, like we're keeping that sovereignty as important to us.
So segue on that, because I want to stick in that area for just a second with sovereignty, because I know that real estate can be, it can stir up a lot of emotions. It can be empowering, overwhelming. There could be hope, fear, loss of control, like you said, identity. So are there any emotional triggers that come to mind or mindset traps that come to mind by chance when you think about this and you're talking about how sovereignty, like nobody puts baby in the corner. I'm the boss of me. I'm the boss of this. Like,
right.
Are there any mindset traps or emotional triggers you could share with us maybe when you think about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go back to your nervous system that's in your physical human body. And we all know that when it gets triggered, we end up in fight or flight, right? It's our autonomic nervous system that kicks in, and we either want to, you know, fight our way out of a situation, or we want to, you know, get out of that situation as quickly as possible.
That's right.
And you probably know what triggers that, right? We talked about couples earlier. Your spouse can do this one thing, and you're like, oh, I'm ready to fight, right? That what you'll notice, especially when you're moving from this grounded place into real estate, is you'll be able to pick up on those things in real estate that cause that reaction. And then you can choose, okay, what do I need to do to calm that reaction or to avoid getting this same situation before? So for some people, a really long commitment causes them to go into fight or flight. Right, a 30-year mortgage or a really long lease or, you know, something like that, a long contract, that can cause them to go into fight or flight. And they might be like, oh, that's not for me. Or they might say, if I'm going to do that, I need X, Y, and Z altogether, right? And they can set up their parameters. Okay, now I feel like this long contract works for me or this long agreement. A big one is like a fear of loss. Mm-hmm. Maybe for some people, buying real estate in Florida, where there's lots of natural disasters to contend with, could be not right for their nervous system. And you can, like, think about that, hold it in your hands, or like in your heart, and think it through it before you actually buy the real estate in Florida, right? And you can be okay with, I don't need Florida real estate in my portfolio. I'm going to go places where I don't have to worry about that same risk of loss.
Right.
Right. And too much of the time we confuse some of that stress for intuition, or intuition from just plain stress. And you've got to take the time to really know what's happening. Is this, something I can deal with if X, Y, or Z are in place? Or is this something that is just not for me and I need to walk away and find a different way to do real estate? But you have to pause, feel, and decide from there, not in the panic or the pressure. In fact, more people make more mistakes when they're feeling pressured or in panic situations than not.
And I absolutely love that. It brings it all back to that fear or loss is a big deal automatically. So are you saying that we have to take a break now? Or are we saying we have got about five minutes left? Yeah. So, Amanda, I'm still going to stay in the same vein. And I've got a question, and I cannot read the who it's actually from. Or I can't pronounce it. Let's just say that. So I'm going to call this person SK. So they want to go back to the still method, and they've asked specifically that you reiterate that. But I'm going to say that you talked about it, applying it to maybe, let's apply it to, instead of just the five steps, like maybe a high stakes decision or refinancing, acquisition, or expanding a portfolio. So some things that people in real estate would resonate with. I think you and I use the health analogy or, you know, fitness, but can you go over that still method for the listeners one more time and maybe those that are just tuning in?
Yes. Great. So the first S, or the only S, the first letter is to set your sights. To know where you're going, to know what you want, and you can think 90 days or 90 years or anywhere in between, what's important to you, what's your vision, what are you after? And then when you have a deal come your way, you want to look at, okay, what's the T is track your in and out. What's been coming into my life, going out of my life? How would this deal impact my cash flow, right? In real estate, cash flow is queen. We know that. Like, you can kind of evaluate it from that way. And then the I is inspect your progress. And you can say, okay, does this deal get me closer or farther from where I really want to go, right? How it impacts my cash flow. How does it also impact where I've set my sights already before this deal, you know, came? And does this deal align with those things, right? I'm inspecting my progress. I'm inspecting how this deal would move me closer or farther from my sights. Then I look for the micro adjustment. So that's the first L, look for the micro adjustment. What's the small change I can make? And especially if this is a big deal, it might be, what's the one question you need to ask that's a make or break on that deal, right? Or what's the worst case scenario, and can I live with that? What's the best case scenario, and can I live with that? Little tweaks like that are great questions that help you make a decision more clearly. That's a great example of a micro adjustment. Or it could also be, if I'm going to say yes to this deal, then this micro adjustment also needs to happen, or could happen in addition to, or something along those lines. And then the final L, live deliberately. You have to make the decision, to move forward, to put in that micro adjustment. You have to actualize it in your real life. And then you come back and rinse and repeat and do the same process over and over again.
What a wonderful way to end our conversation today. Live deliberately. Play it big, scale deeply. Guys, we're talking with Amanda Neely with Wealth Wisdom Financial, and she will be at the summit that starts at the end of this month. We'd like to thank you very much for tuning in and listening with us today to Real Live Real Estate Investing. I am your guest host, Tiffany Ray, and happy investing. So long, guys.